Bumblecast. I'm your host, Ian Flynn, the Bumble King, and joining me as always is that alternate reality, better version of myself, Kyle JCRB Krause.
Yeah, but I keep glitching out. It's very weird.
But it looks cool.
True. It does look cool, but it doesn't feel good.
What's more important, looking good or debilitating pain?
Speaking of someone who has suffered from debilitating pain, I'm going to say looking cool is more important.
Fine. Be superficial.
Well, I mean, you're the one who said I should look cool. That's more important. You're the who said that. So now you're going back on your word. What is this?
I'm testing the limits here. So now I know Kyle does whatever I feel like I'm say.
I feel good. Like okay. I feel like you're gaslighting me, Ian. I feel like I'm like just like what happened? Am I wrong? What's going
that
on?
That would require a degree of cunning that I do not have.
Oh, you don't? You clearly just attempted to. But I clearly did no such thing. But I caught you. See, you're doing it again.
I am not. You're the one trying to gaslight me.
Okay, fine. We're gaslighting each other, so we're just going to keep going around and around and around and around. Why are we even talking about this? Anyway, hello, people. Welcome to the Bumblecast. I'm your host, Kyle JCRB Krause, and joining me today is Ian, the Bumble King Flynn. Hello, Ian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine and dandy. What have you been up to, you gaslighting fiend?
I've been out gaslighting people. I've been using my gas to light things. That's what's been going on. That's what gaslighting means, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. It's like the
favorite pastime of campfires everywhere.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Oh, man. So, you got anything new and interesting and newsworthy to report, Ian? Anything going on in your neck of the woods?
I do, but I can't talk about it.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's, given where we are in the year, one of them should be announced fairly soon, I think. But I'm excited for it. I'm very glad to be working on it. But for now, just knowing smile.
Well, cool. That's a bit and more just than
very recently. Oh, I was on your show, Nitro Game Injection, as we celebrated 25 years of Mega Man X.
Indeed. Although the people will be getting access to that episode not until tomorrow when it releases for everybody. But yes, head on over to KNGI.org and you can listen to me and Ian talk about Mega Man X, the 25th anniversary, for 2 hours. I went for almost three. So
yeah, you had more stamina than
you
I
can.
Did.
You
I
can. You can listen to a lot of Mega Man X remixes, and listen to us talk about Mega Man X. So we had a good time.
We did. We've also been putting together a lot of the Bumble commentaries. We weren't quite as on top of those last year as we intended to be, but all the intentions of last year kind of went out the window in general, didn't they?
Yeah. But we've got a couple lined up.
We're slowly building up that backlog, that archive for your listening goodness. If you're a patron, you'll have access to those for free as soon as they go live. Everybody else, you can head over to the Bandcamp site and purchase it for one shiny dollar.
Yes, that is bumblecast.bandcamp.com. You can head on over there and you can stream them for free directly from Bandcamp, or you can chuck a buck in and download the MP3 version for one measly dollar. So if you want to do that, that's very much appreciated. And if you just want to stream it and listen to us banter on over some of your favorite and or least favorite movies, that's cool too.
I just realized I said shiny dollar. And if you're in the States, you don't have shiny dollars. You have, smudgy dollars.
We got dollar coins here. Not many.
Yeah, but nobody uses them.
Okay. I only ever saw them in Vegas.
Yeah, well,
it's like that was kind of, but that was also over a decade ago. So it was kind of interesting, though. It was kind of interesting that there was a pretty decent prevalence of dollar coinage in Vegas. So I don't know if it's still that way or not. But anyway, we're getting way off topic.
Not really, because you were just talking about gambling, and somebody just won the bubble raffle.
Ho ho!
I can segue anything into anything.
Sure.
And sometimes it's graceful.
So who has won this week's Bumble Raffle, Ian?
This episode's winner is Taco El Gato Comics.
Taco.
Gato.
You know what gato means, right?
You don't like cats?
Okay, just checking. I'm just checking to make sure if you realize that gato does in fact mean cat. Gato is
also... gaslighting me again. You're just trying to mess with my head.
Yes, yes. Gato is also a character in Chrono Trigger.
That is true. I forgot about that.
And you can get five silver coins from Gato.
Yeah, I ate a lot of lunches fighting Gato and got into trouble for that. But anyway, Taco, we will email you, let you know what your options are prize-wise. If you want to be as cool as Taco, you can email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com for each episode you want to be entered into, or just be a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast, and you will be automatically entered into every single drawing.
Yep, and that's everybody from as little as a dollar to everyone up to a bazillion dollars. We don't have any patrons at that level, sadly, but maybe someday.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
And then this would be our job.
I'd be okay with that. Hey.
I would too.
Yeah. Speaking of jobs, Ian, do we want to talk about the job of a superhero in film?
Yes, we should, because We just saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Correction, I saw it. I just saw it. You saw it several weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm a little behind.
So, if you've not seen it yet, go see it right now. Stop the show. Get your ticket, go out, go see it. That's the only non-spoiler content you're getting, because the whole thing is absolutely breathtaking to behold. If you have not paid money to see this in the theater, shame on you. Put yourself into debt. Walk if you have to. Get to yonder theater and watch yourself some Spider-Verse, because it is nigh upon perfect.
Yes, pause it right here. Just hit the pause button. You don't have to stop. You don't have to listen to the rest of this. In fact, you shouldn't listen to the rest of this, because we're going to spoil it. And it's good, I will say. It's very good. It was very entertaining.
So there you go. That was your warning. And here we go, because... Oh my God, Kyle!
3, 2, 1, spoilers!
So I was hyped for this when the first trailer dropped, and all we got out of it was that it was going to be Miles Morales in a very stylistic CG film.
Uh-huh.
And I was sold, because the art direction alone was phenomenal. The first trailer had him do that, backflip off the building, falling up into the city sequence. I'm like, done, sold. You got me. I will be there as soon as I can. And then... more trailers came out, and it's like, okay, so they've got Peter as a mentor role model. That's cool. That's a fun dynamic. Ease the casual viewer into the idea of a not Peter Parker Spider-Man. Cool. Groovy. Love it. And then they started trotting out all the other spider peoples, and I'm like, is this going to be too overloaded? Can you do all these characters at once? Are you going to really trust a multiverse storyline to the casual fans? And yes! Yes, you can, because everything in it was perfect.
I mean, it's perfectly fine. You know what I had to say? I had to say, Ian, the real freaking standout of this movie, Spider-Man Noir. Nicolas Cage as Spider-Man Noir. I'm like, I'm super down for this character. I don't know. I love them all, but man, he just got me in a good way. Like, oh man. That's freaking slick.
Like, Aaliyah trotted out that factoid as we were entering the theater. It's like, oh, did you know Nicolas Cage is going to be Noir? And I'm like, oh, really?
And you didn't think it would work?
I remember Cage's voice actor work in the Astro Boy movie, and that was the lowest point of the film.
Uh-huh.
It was staggeringly awful, but... I guess they had the right voice director, or they cut it together right, or they did something, because, yeah, that was good. That was good stuff.
His voice is absolutely perfect for that sort of, he has that raspy sort of, like, just that sort of detective style.
Like he ate an ashtray and then washed it down with whiskey. Yeah,
exactly, yep. It's very much along the lines of, like, oh, geez, what is that freaking movie that I can't even think of the name of? The Maltese Falcon, there we go. Stuff like that. Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. I loved it. And I did...
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham is also tons of fun.
just right. Like, he was there for a few comedic beats, and that's it. They didn't overplay him. They didn't go too kooky with it. It was just there to have a little bit of fun, but it never distracted from the story. Just, all of it. All of it. Yep. So good.
Same with, Penny Parker. That's the only name I can think of. Because, like, what is her spider name? Did they even have... They didn't mention that.
I think the mech is the spider, which is technically spelled SP/DR.
Okay.
She's the only one I'm not really familiar with at all, but no. She was still fun as all get out. The fact that the lip sync was off!
Yeah. Ah! It was very... There were tons of references in this, like, even things that I'm sure there's tons of things that went over my head, but there were a few things I got, like, some of the names in cell phones, like when they'd open up their contacts,
and you'd see, like, way too fast for me to see.
You'd see, like, I saw S Ditko once, I saw B Bendis once, and those were like the only ones I saw. The Stan Lee cameo was perfect and hilarious, and I'm really gonna miss Stan Lee when they run out of cameos for him.
Like, did they film any in advance? Are we going to get the ghost of Stan Lee future Marvel films?
Yeah, they did film a bunch of them in advance, but I don't know how many. We're eventually going to run out.
Okay.
Eventually they're going to run out, but I think they just filmed him doing some random stuff, and they're just going to shove it in him movies somewhere. So, along with the stuff that's actually planned, they just had him do a bunch of random things, like, just hang out here. Here I am.
What is dead can never die, for real.
Apparently, yeah. Well,
with Penny's mech, there was a blog somewhere. I lost the link. I don't know if I can find it again. But it was this huge collection of concept art that the various artists had done for the movie and released publicly. Mm-hmm. And it was really neat looking at all the different approaches they made to the mech. Because some of them were straight up Evangelion. Some of them looked like the tank out of Ghost in the Shell, just with a spider face. Some of them were a little closer to what we got, you know, the kind of orb body with the maglev limbs, but it was all over the spectrum. Some of it was like alien-styled exoskeleton. Some of it was
that would have been interesting.
Some of it was huge, some of it was small. It was all over the place.
Oh, man, that would have been pretty cool to have, like, an exoskeleton sort of thing for her, but maybe a little too weird. I like the design we got. It's very, it kind of reminds me of, like, D.Va from Overwatch. Mm-hmm. It's very similar. Mm-hmm.
That was exactly what I thought about.
Yep. And it's a very good design. I liked Penny's design for that one. Gwen, of course.
Oh, she was great.
Yeah. Definitely one of the standout characters, and getting her own movie, which is smart. Very smart.
Oh, yeah. Is it part of, like, this franchise, or are they going to do the Spider-Gwen thing?
I think they're doing it as sort of a spin-off follow-up to this. It might be in her own universe, though, and it's going to feature other female Spider characters. So you'll have Silk and Spider-Woman, I think.
Yo, if it's with this production team, with this style, done, sold. You got me immediately.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. And I've been kind of wondering about her hair. leading up to the movie coming out. I'm like, what did they do with her hair? Why is her hair different? What's going on?
I don't remember
her
being that punkish, but okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Oh. Yeah, and then her hair wasn't like that when she was first introduced. Her hair was not shaved on the one side.
Right.
So they shaved it on the one side for story reasons. It actually worked out pretty well. So.
And I'm just going to come out and say that, yet again, the cinematic version, I think, tells the origin story better than the original origin story did.
I like the way that it basically told everyone's origin story, but you know, within like 2 minutes, you had it, like, boom, you know what Spider-Man's origin is. Here's these other spider characters' origins that are pretty similar, so we'll just fly through them real quick.
Like, I read the Ultimate books from the beginning of Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, up through, oh, maybe the first year of Miles Morales.
Yeah.
I think it's been a while. And granted, all of this comes with hindsight, and Miles has now been transposed into the main continuity, and but you know, I actually got to see Miles as he came into being, and the key points are still there. He still witnesses Spider-Man's death, technically at the hands of Green Goblin, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Point is, he is inspired to heroism by Spider-Man. You still have him being bitten by an offshoot of the radioactive spider stuff. His comes from an alternate reality in the movie. In the book, it was just one other thing from Oscorp. His uncle being Prowler, that was a carryover. All this stuff. But, oh man, to me, comics Miles, from what I've read, is kind of bland.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not bad. He's just kind of there. And movie Miles has so much charisma.
Yeah.
And just so charming and fun. And hey.
See, I had no idea really what to expect going in because I am very unfamiliar with Miles. I know kind of the basics, but I wasn't really aware of everything involving him. And by the end of it, I was pretty much in love with this character. He's great.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
He's so good. They're all good. That's the problem, man. They're all great characters. It's like they took all these great characters and they just put them all in one movie, and it's delightful.
Now, there's one complaint I've heard about Miles in the comics is that he's kind of overpowered. That Venom Blast touch thingy, he can kind of whip out no problem in the books, so all fights pretty much end that way.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the fact that he didn't have full control until the very, very end. Never mind that that makes a really compelling character arc of him being way out of his depth and kind of coming into his own, but it also kind of neutralizes that concern of, okay, why doesn't he just Venom Blast everything?
Yeah.
And that final hit on Kingpin. Okay, so Kingpin, I love that design. I love that wall of meat that's only vaguely human.
He kind of reminded me of, like, the designs of Despicable Me, which I am not a huge fan of, but it works for him, you know? It makes
sense. The
fact that
his head looks like it's in the middle of his torso.
Yeah.
Because he's just a wall of meat, and,
I'm just so used to Vincent D'Onofrio's portrayal of him in the Netflix Daredevil show that I wasn't quite into this version of him as much as that one, but I still like
him. It's an acquired taste, I'm sure. He's very Pixar compared to everybody else in the movie.
Yeah, that might be part of it.
And I love the fact that he had a sympathetic angle.
Right.
But he was still completely reprehensible. You understand where he's coming from, but you don't root for him at any point, really.
And it's the same thing. This is pretty much the same exact thing he does. Well, not the same exact thing he does, but it's a very reminiscent of his story arc throughout Daredevil, where he's doing everything for Vanessa, doing everything for his family. It's like, this is the reason. It's because I love you. Everything I'm doing is for you. And so, yeah, it was very interesting to see the parallels there, in at least a little bit. Green Goblin's design was freaking ridiculous. Like,
I was not anticipating that one.
That's a very Hulk-like Green Goblin.
He had wings!
Yeah, very, very, very different Green Goblin.
Very different Scorpion as well, but I think that's also from the Ultimate line. I don't recall.
Mm. Okay.
Now, this version of Dr. Octopus, I don't know if she's got a comic origin, because
I don't know either.
After I stopped reading, but boy, howdy, I did not see that reveal coming,
uh-uh.
And that was fantastic.
Yeah, I think she's probably the best villain of the whole piece, just because she has, like, such a good personality, and the reveal was definitely a surprise. I was like, wait a minute, who is this?
And then, again, that art design blog I was talking about, going back and looking at the design of the research facility,
mm-hmm.
All the ceiling tiles are octagonal.
Oh,
and I'm pretty sure the glasses frames are octagonal. There are themes of eight through the whole stinking building, and you don't see it coming because it looks natural, but it all fits, and I love it. Also, perhaps the single greatest moment in the entire freaking movie. I don't know if you caught this. It's a blink and you miss it moment. But mm-hmm. when Peter and Miles are escaping from the research facility, and they are running out of the cafeteria, and they throw the bagel back. It hits a dude in the face.
And it says bagel?
Yes! Yes!
The onomatopoeia is bagel!
Yes! Oh, I love it! I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it!
I just like that it's a very good use of like comic book design and the onomatopoeia and sound effects and sort of like thought bubbles, and it's just a man, it's so good. it's so stylish, just so pretty to look at.
And it's not stylish in the style for style's sake. No. It doesn't ever feel like here's some razzle dazzle to distract you from the fact that we didn't put it all together. Everything is meticulously crafted.
Yep.
This thing is a work of art in the truest sense from start to finish. And Kyle, I love this movie so much.
It's very good. It's very, very good. I was, I didn't know what to expect going in other than I heard it was good. I heard it was really good. I heard from you that I was going to love it. And well, you were right. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously, but man, I don't know. It's just, I can't even think of something that was like super bad about it, or like even something where I'm like kind of disappointed. I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe a little disappointed that there wasn't more Spider-Gwen. I don't know, but I'm always going to be disappointed until she gets her own movie in that aspect.
The sequel hook at the end implies, so.
Indeed, yes, that's true.
If I have one nitpick, one tiny one,
okay,
it's that Miles went from unable to control his abilities competently to full-blown Spider-Man in a very quick montage just so he'd be present for the climax. That, to me, felt like it was a little too fast of a turnaround given all that we had seen up to that point. But he had also gained so much experience over the past couple in film days, and that whole sequence is so slick, I don't care.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And everything to do with him and his dad, that entire arc. Oh my God, Carl. Him and his uncle.
Yeah.
When Prowler finally gets him on the roof and pulls off the mask, or does Miles pull off the mask?
He pulls up Miles's mask.
Okay, when he sees who it is.
Yeah.
That reaction, oh my God, that was perfect.
Yeah.
That was genius. That played out precisely how I wanted it to. I hate that he died. It sucked. But, oh, everything about it. Because, you know, leading up to the scene, it's like, okay, they're making a point of he never really sees who is running from him, or gets a clear shot that Miles is Spider-Man. They're making it very clear he doesn't know who Miles is up to this point. How's it going to play out? How's it going to play out? What are they going to do with it? Or they're going to do that. That's exactly right. Out of the park. Bravo. Standing ovation. Oh, love it.
I can't really add anything, man. You're spot on. It's so good. It's just so good. I don't know what else to say.
And you did stay for the bonus scene.
Oh, of course. Of course. It's a Marvel movie. I'm not leaving. It's a Marvel movie. Oh, man. Yeah, Spider-Man 2099 going back to Spider-Man 67. It's like, I didn't...
starting it up, and I'm like, okay, we've got some weird hologram girl. I'm not, you know, versed in everything Marvel. What are they building it? What are they doing? These... Miguel! Oh no! Is it? Yeah! It's 2099! I love that costume! Ah! And now he's going back to the past! And ah! It's perfect!
And then he goes way back to the past. See, I didn't know... See, Jennifer, at the end of the movie, my girlfriend, as we were... After the end credit scene wrapped up, she said, I didn't know we were going to be seeing a cartoon after we watched our cartoon. It's like, that was... perfect. It looks spot on for the old 67 cartoon.
Well, in the credits there is an acknowledgement for the animation, so I'm wondering if they really did take the original stuff and just kind of color over a couple of cells to put in Miguel.
I kind of wonder. It might be. And they do say, they just stop pointing at me. Stop pointing at me. You're pointed at me. Spider-Man 67 has to point at everything. Oh, jeez.
And the spider cave with the frickin' spider buggy.
Oh, yeah. I saw the spider
costumes.
I saw the spider buggy and started cracking up, and I'm like, man, I hope they drive that. Please drive that. Please. They never do. That's my other disappointment with it. They never drive the spider buggy. Or the spider.
Well, now
or
we've got our bucket list for the sequel.
Or the spider
buggy.
Miguel
shows up. More Gwen. Spider buggy. I think that's doable.
Yeah,
that's very doable.
We can do spider. Yeah. We need more spider buggies, please. God, I don't know. I love the spider buggy. It's the most ridiculous superhero car in existence, and I love it. I love it. Just so stupid. Ugh, man. Well, you know, Ian, I think that it's kind of interesting because this movie seems to canonize the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
At the very least, it shares a lot of parallels.
Yes,
given that
it does.
You know, this universe's Peter
is blonde.
Ben Reilly blonde, which for a minute there, I'm like, are they really going to pull the Ben fake out? Okay, no, that's just more of a visual Easter egg. Okay.
And then they start recounting the story of everything he's been through, and they start referencing Sam Raimi stuff, and I'm like, oh no.
But you know what? I like that just
but
fine,
I do because they kind of swept Spider-Man 3 under the rug, like, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, the dance happened. We don't.
I did this one time. We don't really talk about that.
And that's the, you know, even though Tom Holland's Spider-Man is the current Spider-Man, I think the Raimi movies, for better or for worse, are kind of considered the cinematic Spider-Man.
They're kind of the movies that popularized this whole superhero renaissance we're going through as far as films go. We had X-Men.
I would argue X-Men started that, but Spider-Man put the fun back in.
I would say Blade started it. X-Men continued it. But Spider-Man, I think just in terms of Spider-Man's like pop culture relevance and the fact that like everybody knows who Spider-Man is, everybody knows his origin, everybody knows him, even back before the movie came out, it was like, oh yeah, Spider-Man. Like, he's just as well known as Superman. And the fact that they just released that movie and it got so huge and sort of spurned on this big, okay, we can take superheroes and make them into billion-dollar franchises. So let's do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's where we are now. And now we've got a billion different Spider-Mans from a billion different Spider-Man movies. And who knows, maybe in Spider-Verse 2, they'll bring in the previous Spider-Man, movie Spider-Man. Could you imagine, like, Andrew Garfield Spider-Man and what's his name from the Sam Raimi? Tobey Maguire. Yeah, you imagine having them in there too. Like, what are these guys even doing here?
Bring in Tom Holland. Just have all the big screen Spideys.
Yeah, just bring them all in. Why not? It's like we've got alternate universes out the butt. We're going to have alternate universes all day. Oh, man. So that would be a lot of fun. But
I'm divided now, though, because I really, really loved Homecoming. I thought it was just such a nice brush of fresh air. I like the fact that it was kind of an episodic film rather than a big epic. I'm looking way too far from home because I just really dig Tom Holland's Spider-Man. I was all set for that incarnation to be my favorite Spider-Man, but Spider-Verse is just, ooh, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really hopeful that we're going to be seeing more Spider-Verse. Just these characters who don't even have to necessarily be Spider-Verse related, you know, just have a movie about individual ones or spinoffs or whatever. I'm down with that, too.
Yeah.
Like, heck, even a Spider-Man noir movie would be super fun. There's just something about him. He's just like the way he's looking at a Rubik's cube. Like, I don't understand this. And he's like, he's clearly colorblind because he's like, it's blue. No, it's purple. No.
I don't understand this thing.
I don't understand. I will solve this one day. And hey, at the end of the movie, it does. He figures it out. Oh, man.
It's so nice to go into a movie being hyped for it and coming away more hyped for it than when you went in.
It's a nice feeling. It's very good to know that I still have that, you know, that little bit of a spark in me of being happy for something, you know,
like when I went into Infinity War, I knew I was going to like it. I was hyped for it. And I came out very satisfied. It's like, that was a good meal for the brain. I can't wait for the next thing to spend money on. I'm good. Thank you. This, like, I left the theater and it's like, why is it so late at night? I want to go right back in and watch it again. It's like crack. I need more of it in my veins, Kyle. Give me that Spider-Verse.
It's super entertaining. And I know what movie we're going to be doing a commentary on this year.
Oh, as soon as it's out.
We're going to be watching this again. Definitely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Although my commentary might just be one extended.
That's fine. That's fine.
Pausing only to breathe.
Yep. That's cool. We will do that. We will resolve to do that this year. That's our New Year's resolution 3 weeks late. To do commentary for that movie. Oh, man. So are we ready to move on? Q&A? Ready to Q&A it up in here?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, if you want to submit your questions for the Q&A, hit us up via email at bumblecast@yahoo.com. On Twitter, @Bumblecast, in the YouTube comments down below if you're watching this on YouTube, or via Patreon. Speaking of Patreon, we have some questions from our lovely patrons over at patreon.com/Bumblecast. First one up comes from Scruffy Matt. Top of the morning to you, gentlemen.
Top of the morning to you, Scruffy Matt.
Yeah, I should have let you read that because I'm terrible. I'm terrible at accents. What games, movies, and TV shows are you most looking forward to in 2019? It's tough. It's tough because I don't even know exactly what's coming out this year for the
most part. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I'm trying to rack my brain.
Endgame?
What's coming?
Captain Marvel?
Endgame, yeah.
You know?
Marvel, I don't know. It looks slick. I've enjoyed all the other Marvel films to one degree or another. It isn't wowing me, but I figure I'm going to see it because I've seen all the others. Why not?
Well, I'm just excited to see Clark Gregg on the big screen again. That'll be nice. Let's see. Oh, geez, what else? We got Endgame. We got... You know, I got to be honest, Ian. We saw the Shazam trailer before before Spider-Verse. And I liked it.
It looks cute.
I kind of want to see it. Yeah.
It looks like fun.
Yeah, it looks like, and I'm like a DC movie that looks like fun. What is going on here? I still have not seen Aquaman at all. I will
That's
eventually.
That's on my to-do list.
I will eventually, but yeah.
I've heard good things about that one too, so.
I've heard a variety of things, good, bad. It seems kind of like some people hate it, some people like it. So I'm hopeful that it's at least better than Batman v Superman.
Well, it's already brought in $1 billion worldwide, so they're doing something right with it.
Apparently. Yeah, it surpassed Wonder Woman, which kind of makes me sad. You know, she's going to have another movie soon, so. Is that this year? It might be this year.
I think.
I haven't heard.
The new Star Wars comes out this year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess finally get that one done.
I guess that's it. I feel
maybe
more,
they'll get this one right.
I feel like it's more of an obligation at this point, which is kind of a shame.
I'm looking forward to the characters.
Yeah.
And yeah. We've talked about Star Wars a fair bit, but I feel like at least with the sequels, even if the stories have not been the best, they at least feel like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
The prequels, I feel like, didn't actually feel like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Sequels, I feel like they do, but that's another rant entirely. TV shows...
Jessica Jones, I'm looking forward to, season 3.
Okay, I don't know if it counts, but Young Justice season 3 is currently coming out.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, sure it does.
I've got a love-hate relationship with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it seems to be committing the same sins as last season, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting a new season this summer, so I'm looking I'm looking forward to that. I guess that's really about it for TV. I can't think of anything off the top of my head immediately. Looking forward to The Punisher and Jessica Jones getting canceled. Because it's going to happen. I'm looking at games that are coming out this year, and I'm not really feeling anything.
I guess I need a Nintendo Direct, because it's like, what's coming out?
I don't know. Ace Combat 7 looks kind of cool. Team Sonic Racing, if that actually comes out this year.
That I need for the soundtrack alone.
Yeah. Because
the clips they've been releasing have been freaking marvelous.
Well, yeah, it's Jun Senoue. Jun Senoue's back, and he's doing his Jun Senoue thing, and I am down.
With T-Lopes.
Yes.
Like the fusion dance of music. it's good. Like that remix of Sandopolis alone, that's purchase price of the game, right?
Oh, I haven't even heard that yet. I just heard the main theme. I didn't hear that. I want to be spoiled, Ian? Should I spoil myself?
Oh, Kyle, you're going to have that on loop for like days.
I might if you tempt me.
I mean, the other ones have been, there's a remix of Super Sonic Racing.
Well, yeah, I'm okay with that.
And that one's nice. They did something with, I think it's Seaside Hill. Or Ocean Palette's one of the two.
Mm-hmm. I did hear that. That was.
I'm so sick of that tune, but they did something good with it. But that Sandopolis mix.
I'm looking at 2019 in games, and I'm just like, I'm not super into what's happening. I don't know. I don't know what I feel. I don't know how I feel about it.
I mean, I still have to get through Smash Brothers. I just started into Hollow Knight.
Right. There's just so many things. There's, like, games from other previous years that I haven't even played yet.
I just got Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition, and I haven't even cracked the case open yet. I'm kind of good on games for right now.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like, I don't know what I want to play this year, because I'm going to probably end up playing it in 2020 or later. Anything that comes out this year, for the most part. Except for Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night.
Oh, is that out this year?
That's supposed to be out this year. Then again, it's supposed to have been out this year for the last two or three.
Okay.
Okay, so since 2017. So might come out this year.
Oh, a video game that I worked on, I think, is due out this year.
Uh-oh.
So it will be nice to actually be able to lay claim to that one.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm guessing you're not allowed to even mention what it is right now.
Hashtag knowing smile.
Okay. I'm looking at other games and I'm like, I don't know. Do I care about Kingdom Hearts 3? Not really. That's not my series. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3? That's supposed to come out this year. Exclusive for the Switch. And developed by Team Ninja, which is interesting.
They do the other two?
No, they did not.
Oh, okay.
No. I don't know how that happened.
That's weird.
Huh. Okay. MechWarrior 5? Wow. That's been a while. Been a long time since I've seen a MechWarrior game. A Psychonauts 2? Let's hope that doesn't end up looking like Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not really seeing Shenmue 3, which I never really got in the first game, so...
I played the first one and adored it for its time. A lot of the stuff, thinking back on it, I don't think it's aged too well.
Probably not.
I mean, I want to pick up the HD re-release of It and 2 at some point, but time and money.
Yeah. There's supposed to be a new Yoshi game this year. That looks cute.
I've not been wild about the arts and crafts.
Don't know when I'll get around to it, if ever. But, yeah, that's about it, I think.
Watch, this will drop, and then they'll have Nintendo Direct this week, and it's like, oh, well, all of that. Okay, cool.
That's okay. We have other episodes of this show, Ian. We can talk about it later. It's all good.
Oh, yeah.
It's all good. Sure. It's all good. In the meantime, let's move on to another question. This one comes from Saturn Flicky. Are there any zones or locations from the Sonic games you'd like to feature and contextualize in the comics but haven't had the chance to yet? Have you ever requested artists to include or exclude particular elements in order to make them more plausible to the context of the comic? For example, Speed Highway's loop-de-loops are fun and game, but in a story context, they don't make much sense as something the people of Station Square would build. Which I guess kind of makes sense. But.
Well, all right, so let's tackle this one at a time. Mm-hmm. Locations, game locations that I wish I could have used in the comic so far. Yes, all of them. Some more than others. Like, nothing immediately jumps out to me, but you know, each stage has something neat to it that I wish we could spend a little more time on and flesh out a bit. Like, just exploring Frog Forest as a location would be neat. Most of the haunted stuff I would love to really get into, like the Hang Castle or the Mystic Manor or the stuff from Shadow and Heroes. Those are all so funky and different. I'd love to get into those more.
Mm-hmm.
As for game elements that shouldn't exist in a logical world, some of those I could see, but others I would like to actually contextualize, because it's not our world.
Right.
Obviously, it doesn't work by our logic or by even by our physics. So, you know, when you have stuff like Speed Highway or Route 101 out of SA2, you know, you've got highways suspended over vast oceans with bottomless pits as dividers. To me, that's just how they do cars.
I guess.
Sonic Human World, it's, you know, instead of a roundabout, you have a loop-de-loop.
What is this, F-Zero?
Yeah, exactly. It cuts down on overall traffic congestion because all the time that could be spent going forward is spent going in that big loop. And yeah, the car accidents that could stem from that are horrifying, but same thing as if you drive off an overpass. That would be bad. So, no. That's exactly how people with Station Square live.
Of course.
You know, perfect chaos tears down the city and somebody's stuck in traffic going, oh, this again.
They live life on the edge. Literally.
This is Shopper Fly flying over high, and the loop route number 5 has been destroyed by a giant water monster. This has been brought to you by Chow Cola. Feel the fizz.
Sure, why not? I don't know. Maybe they just make all their roads for Sonic because they know Sonic's going to come through there. So they're like, let's give him something fun to do.
It's a tourist trap. Sonic runs on these roads.
It's like, why?
If you come by and hang out and go by the tourist shop, you just might see him.
Like, why would Green Hill Zone have these things sticking up out of the ground that are loops? Loops sticking up out of the ground for no reason that Sonic can just run through. Oh, sure, of course. Natural but rock formations that are loop shaped.
More so, I kind of look at those elements and try to incorporate them into the terrain of the world so that when you pick up a comic, it looks like a Sonic game.
Oh, yeah.
Now, some of that kind of falls by the wayside because if you're going to have an interesting set piece like a loop-de-loop highway or a loop-de-loop rock formation, you want to use it. You don't want it just to be window dressing.
Right.
And when the focus is on the action of the story and the dialogue, the floating blocks in the air kind of fall by the wayside in terms of priority. But it's something I do try to keep in mind.
Sure. Yeah, it makes sense to not worry about it too much. It's just a comic. You should really just relax.
That's your mantra for 2019, isn't it?
That's my mantra for my life. At this point.
But if anything, Saturn Flicky, I put notes in the script to say these are what game elements I want to see rendered. You know, here is the texture for the dirt, or here is the general landscape, and you know, fish up a screenshot and put it in the document so that the artist knows vaguely what to do with it as best they can within all the crazy demands I make in the manuscript.
Okay, so you don't like tell them that they shouldn't do something generally, which is usually a good way to operate with artists, you know? Let them have the free rein, you know?
my scripting style is give them as much information as they need so that there's no guesswork in the page layout,
right,
but give them room to be artists. Because I may want something that just does not work on a page, or they may have a better idea, and in which case, you know, go for it. Absolutely.
Yep. All right. And with that, we're ready to move on into the standard Q&A for this edition of the Bumblecast. First one comes from Tickle Buddy. Hello. Do you happen to have any plans for Infinite in the IDW comics? He had kind of a mysterious end in Sonic Forces, and I was wondering if you guys had any plans for him in the future.
Sega has asked that we not use Infinite for the immediate future. Nothing more than that. Just please don't. And if he shows up in future games, I'm willing to bet that'll open the door for him to show up in the comic again. But for now, he is off limits. But that's okay, because I haven't gotten through a list of characters that we currently have available. So by the time we get through everybody and give them their, I'm sure we'll have access to Infinite. We'll see. I don't know.
As it just might be for story reasons, like they're planning on using him in a later game or something too.
Maybe. I don't know.
Who knows what they're thinking? Could be anything. Maybe they aren't thinking. Who knows?
I am not privy to those discussions.
All right. Next question comes from Cyber Jaeger, which is a great name.
That is an awesome name.
It's a very good name. It's a very good name. I like that one. Just a wonder, but what reason would you give for Repliforce to go into Revolt? We're talking Mega Man X again.
Yeah. Okay, so big disclaimer on this one. I had this figured out, and then, you know, the book went on hiatus, and I hadn't really thought about it in a long time, so my facts may not be 100% on the mark. So if I'm getting some of these details wrong, it's just because I'm fuzzy. If we were to actually be writing this, you better believe that I would be fact-checking myself and re-researching this. But from what I remember off the top of my head, Repliforce was more or less founded as an answer to the Maverick Hunters. Because yeah. The Maverick Hunters were kind of established when Mavericks first became a thing. And it's like, oh, well, we need something to deal with this. And then the single Reploid created to run this became the Maverick to end all Maverick. And things kind of fell apart from there. So Repliforce kind of came together and said, you know what? Maverick Hunters, you're not really good at this. We're going to do it. And the Maverick Hunter said, no, that's our job. Who gets to say that you get to do that? And that it ultimately boiled down to a clash of egos between the two organizations, with Sigma influencing both sides to some degree or another. So that the tragedy of the X4 story is that it really wasn't a fight between good and evil or Hunters versus Mavericks. It was just two groups of good guys tricked into fighting one another, and there were casualties. And that's really meaty narrative stuff that I would love to get in eventually. Yeah. Maybe one day. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Here's hoping.
But that they didn't so much revolt as they said, we are doing this thing because we have to. And the Hunter saying, you've gone Maverick. And Repliforce saying, no, you're dumb. No, you. And it got worse.
Typical. Never fails. It would have been very interesting to explore a lot deeper than the games would have, or that the games do, because the games don't explore that very deeply. It's just like, oh, it's Repliforce. They're a slightly different form of maybe not evil, but maybe are evil Mavericks. Go kill them. It's not very deep in that respect. And the voice acting kind of kills it, too. What am I fighting for? Next question comes from Colin O. Is Whisper the Wolf on the autism spectrum?
No. But I can see where people get that idea, given her mannerisms and her other characters so far. There is a reason for her behavior, and we will be getting to that sooner rather than later. It has more to do with trauma than it does with autism.
Okie dokie. And a final question comes from Chris. Hey, Ian. Glad to finally have a way to connect with you. I've always enjoyed the Sonic Archie comics, but a quick question. When are we going to hear some news about the ARMS graphic novel? Now, Ian, I got this question like 3 or 4 different times from a bunch of different people who are wondering what's going on with that. So maybe we should...
I think one person asked, and then they... you know, redirected them to Bumblecast, and everyone was like, wait, what? No, hey, what's going on?
Well, no, I also got it on, like, YouTube, and I got it from all sorts of places, so, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, people
even
are very,
more than I thought.
Yeah, people are very interested in seeing what happens. And
which is fantastic. I'm so glad you're excited for it. You're going to love it when it comes out, I hope. I don't know.
Okay.
And that's unfortunately it. It is in production, but, you know, I'm not in-house with Dark Horse. I'm freelance. So once my work is done, that's it.
Okay.
You know, I don't really have a pulse on where the approvals are or where real is or where production is. I don't know what anything is. Once Dark Horse wants to say something, I'm sure they will. But it's taking longer than any of us thought. But it is in production, last I heard. So
okay.
No worries. Patience. It should come out fine. It should be great. It'll be lovely.
Are you able to give the status on your part of the work for it?
I probably shouldn't.
Okay.
Just from professional prerogative. But I have done a lot for it. So I would imagine if I was that far in, that means things are moving. So.
Okay. Alrighty then.
Maybe they're waiting for some big announcement. I don't know. But I don't have any news, but that isn't necessarily a bad thing.
All right. Well, I hope to see it soon. It would be nice. And there's actually quite a few people who are looking forward to it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
All right. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Bumblecast and the Q&A. And that'll wrap us up. Anything we need to get to, Ian, before we leave?
I don't think so. Where can they find you once the show is done, sir?
I am on Twitter, at KyleJCRB. You can also find me every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, streaming at Nitro Game Injection, my video game music remix show, where I feature fan-made video game music remixes and stuff like that. All that awesome stuff that you can go check out over at kngi.org, where you can also find archived episodes of the Bumblecast and other shows, too. So be sure to go check it out. There's lots of stuff over there. Where can people find you, Ian?
You can find me at my website, bumbleking.com. That has my release schedule, my con schedule, my body of work, and all that happy hoopla. You can also find me at Twitter, at IanFlynnBKC.
Don't forget, you can also follow the show and any news and all that good stuff at Bumblecast on Twitter, or email us at bumblecast@yahoo.com with any comments, questions, flames, or trolls or anything like that. Anything you want to send, I'll read it. I don't care. I don't know if I'll read it on the show. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
You can also catch us every weekend for live streaming of video game stuff if you're a patron over at patreon.com/bumblecast. All it takes is a single dollar a month to get yourself in the door.
And if you don't want to patronize us, then head on over to Twitch at twitch.tv/bumblecast. Is it Bumblecast or Bumblecast Gaming? It is Bumblecast.
Bumblecast Gaming.
Head on over to twitch.tv/bumblecastgaming, where I've been actually streaming a bit. I streamed a couple times earlier this week. I've been playing F-Zero GX a bit, and also played a little bit of New Super Mario Bros. U. And I'm planning on dipping into Sonic Forces eventually, because I finally picked that up. So I'm going to get to Sonic Forces and probably make a horrifying creature to play the game as. Or maybe I'll just make a regular creature, because Ian already made the horrifying creature.
The patrons helped.
Oh, that's true. That's true. They did.
And you can help us out by heading over to the Bumble Store, which is shop.spreadshirt.com/Bumble Store, and get yourself some gear with the Bumblecast.
Indeed. And don't forget, Ian, to also give a shout out to our lovely patrons, who are very lovely and they smell nice. Maybe.
Now, unlike Kyle, I don't smell your laundry, but I'm sure you do smell lovely.
Well, I'm just assuming. I don't actually
A big
know
thank
either.
You to...
Do it, Ian. Just
big
do it.
Big thank you to Daniel H., Eric F., LB, Saturn, Flecky, Xenos, Duas, Den, Scruffy, Matt, Chris A., John B., Samuel P., Jennifer R., David C., Reverend Light, Lisa M., Sam, Cybercat, Dig, Gamma F., Wow, Mike B., John, Joshua S., Dragon Superfan, AE Double, Brody M., Neil H., Justin S., Justin G., Dan M., S., Adam T., Silly String, Takaro, Leech HK, Chevelle, Don B, Sen Fritz, Taco Elgato Comics, John M, James K, Papadripodopoulos, Overthinking Films, Adam BT, and Ron.
Ron. Good old Ron.
We love you. Leave us, Ron.
We love you, Ron. No, I mean, if you really need to leave us, you can, but don't leave us, please.
Actually, looking at this, Ron's been a patron since 2017, along with Mackerel.
Yeah, we've had quite a few people who have been with... Those names have been with us for quite a while. Quite a few of them.
I knew we had some really stalwart patrons. I didn't realize it'd been that long. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you all. We love you all.
That's going to wrap us up for Bumblecast episode 83. We hope you enjoyed me geeking out about Spider-Verse, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, bye! Flip the spider out. I don't know. Is that what Spider-Man does? Does he say spider out after going flip flip?
That's what Spider-Kyle does, apparently.
Oh, that's weird. I don't want to be a spider person.
But the spider sonas are all the rage. Or they were for like the first week.
I'll just make up a different one that's not myself.
Spider-Kyle, Spider-Kyle.
No.
Been doing podcasts for a while. He has webs, and he swings. He does many spider things. Look out, here comes a spider, Kyle. Can he swing from a web? Yes, he can, but he'd rather not. He would rather take the bus. There's no swinging, but less of a fuss. Look out, there goes a spider, Kyle. There goes a spider, Kyle.
I'm on the bus. You've been listening to The Bumblecast, a co-production of Bumble King Comics and the KNGI Network. Original theme music composed by Ken Coda Snyder. Remixed intro by T-Lopes. Find out more information, along with podcast feeder links, MP3 downloads, and more at bumbleking.com and kngi.org.